Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Body, how are you, mate?
I'm very good. Excited. There's a lot to talk about today, and that's even after our guest.
Exactly. Now, as you, all our listeners know, and we've been getting some fantastic feedback, we love doing our little segment, Where Are They Now? And today, well, we've got a beauty. We have a person that was drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round as the 18th pick in the 1991 draft, traded to the Denver Nuggets and played 126 games for them in a brilliant career. He was then speaking to one of his teammates, Darnell Mee, none other than himself. And in 1998, he came into the NBL and took it by storm with the Adelaide 36ers. He did end up playing for the Sydney Kings as well, but we all know him well as the Adelaide 36ers. He is a two-time championship player, and in 1998, in one of those championships, he was an NBL Grand Finals and an All-NBL team. Of course, we are talking none other than Kevin Brooks. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys, for that wonderful intro, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it was a good intro, and we want to get to right through your career, like where it began, etc. But immediately, I want to know about this three-on-three team that you've bought. What's that about?
Yeah, you know, it's with Champion League Basketball, CLB. They've been around for a while, and they got about couple teams in Sydney, Riverina Bobcats, Rip City, new team in Hamilton, Victoria. Now we're the first 3-on-3 basketball club here in South Australia. And as you know, boys, you've all played the game, coached the game. 3-on-3 has been around forever, so it's not something new. We are about to enter into a new era in regards to the Olympics in 3-on-3 basketball. And I think there's a really good Australian team that has a good chance of meddling there. So we're looking forward to that, the ladies team. But, you know, it's been around. And, you know, Body, I'm staying in my lane. You know, I'm not trying to go out there and play professional footy or, you know, I fancy myself a pretty good golfer. I'm not trying to go pro in golf.
Oh, wow. I've seen photos of your stroke. It doesn't look that fantastic. It doesn't look that classic. You know, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing like Charles Barkley. More like Tiger Woods. That's right. That's right. So, you know, look, we decided to invest in it. We've been going over it for 8 to 10 months, and you know, it'll be a challenge to do it, but we feel good about it. The founders, Matt and Yvette, are really good people. They've been doing it for a long time. Yep. They know what they're doing. We think there's room for 3-on-3. It's not going to replace 5-on-5. That's the pinnacle. It's not going to replace it. No. It's not going to, and I just want to get this out there. It's not going to challenge any state clubs or take away from their programs. It's something that's there. I think it's going to fit underneath the NBL and probably above state league because you can play national games and you can also qualify to play in the International World Tour. So we're looking to have an Adelaide team to represent us on that stage.
So this is, it's a sort of a national competition. Is that what you're saying? So you've got the Adelaide team. What are they called? The Gay Pride, aren't they?
No, no, man. I can't believe you went there, buddy. No. Gay Pride is a movement, man. It's a movement. We're just a 3-on-3 basketball club. So we're not that important, but you know, we're trying to give the ballers out there another option to play the game that we all love. Yep. And they can play it on different levels. And some of them who maybe couldn't make that state league or they felt like they was a bit too old now and they want to go younger. There's some good players out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes that pathway after 18 gets a little bit funny for basketballers. So this is another option for them.
There is a gap. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, so, you know, we can help fill that gap with something constructive that still provides a service to the community that we enjoy doing, then we think there's something there. And look, we've been around. All of us have been around. We played, we coach. We know there's gaps there, and we're just trying to help fill that void and do something we enjoy doing.
Okay, and just for the benefit of the listeners who don't know, the team name is Adelaide Pride. Okay?
The Adelaide Pride, that's right. Yeah. That's right. We know, Body. You know it, Body. The 36ers are the pride of what? Adelaide.
Yeah.
The Crows are the pride of South Australia.
Yep.
And there's a lot of pride there with our Power and our Lightning and our Thunderbirds and all of our codes, you know, united. And yep. I think most, if not all of our codes have won a title, Body. Is that right?
Yes, that'd be right. Yep, absolutely. So, Port Adelaide and also Adelaide Reds, the soccer team. Yep.
That's right. And so we are, boy, I tell you, we got some big shoes to fill there, but hopefully we can represent ourselves well and represent our city and state well. And that's all we're trying to do.
KB, I've got to be honest with you, I'm feeling a bit outnumbered here, but I was hoping as a former ex-player you would still stick by Sydney, mate. That doesn't sound like it's happening here.
No.
You know what? I spent a little time in Sydney, so there's a little bit of love there. But, you know, Adelaide is home. I'm adopted. I love my adopted city and state. They've looked after me, and I'm trying to look after them. You know what I mean? So, no disrespect to Sydney siders, but I'm an Adelaide guy.
Nah, that's fair enough. Now, let me just ask you a question, though. I want to talk to you about the time in Adelaide. As a player that I was playing in that era and played against you, that just looked like the fun team to play for. You guys just looked like you just loved playing basketball. Would that be a fair analogy?
That is absolutely fair. That's spot on, man. Look, I don't know too many players who can say they would probably ever in an environment like that. That was a very positive, fun work environment. I think we were quite fortunate for all those different pieces, Donnell and myself, Phil coming in, first-time head coach, Region SJ coming in. There was a lot of new pieces that just stepped in there, and it just fit. I mean, and we just played a style of basketball that players wanted to play and wanted to be involved in, and whatever your talents were, they're going to come out in Phil's system. I give Phil a lot of credit, even though a lot of people don't give Phil credit because they felt like he had some former NBA guys and some other talented players, but those guys, we still needed to be coached.
Still got to be winning.
Yep. That's right. And also, I give him credit. It's not so much what he done as what he didn't do. He did not overcoach us. And I guarantee you, most of the other coaches in that league would have tried to overcoach us right away. And he just doesn't give a credit for the job he's done. He played in, how many Olympics did he play? Four
Olympics and five world championships, 345 games for Australia.
Can I also add?
So the experience and the knowledge is there. And he played the most important position on the floor, boys. And you know that's the point guard position. And
yeah, Brad, you know what I'm talking about. I hear you, KB. I hear you.
I'm giving you a little love right there. And so he had a great feel for the pulse of his players, his individual and his teams, and he was fun to play for, man. And you can tell it by the way we played. We played like we were having fun, and we were.
It's interesting, you know, like Phil Smythe was obviously here in 1995 and he came to the Kings, had that relationship with Bob Turner. And I actually ended when Phil got his shoulder done, I actually was the one who replaced him. But when I don't want to say I replaced Phil, I just came in when he was injured. Two different scenarios. But when I had trainings with Phil because I was part of the squad then, I can't tell you how much I learned off that guy in the smallest amount of time. Just his aura, it just must have been amazing under him. He's just so knowledgeable and so nice.
Yeah, look, he you know, you rarely see him get upset. Like him and I love to see him and Lindsey Gaze have an argument. I'll just sit there and crack up. Because I you know, neither one of them would get very riled up at all. But he'll he gave us exactly what we needed. We had some talented players. We had Donnell, me. Brett Maher was the captain at that team, and Donnell was the leader of the team. And those two guys worked very well together, and they don't get the credit that they deserve for how they worked together and allowed each other to do their jobs respectively. And the rest of us, we done what we done. We fed off of it. We enjoy playing one another. And that chemistry, as you know, is very fragile. It's hard to replicate. Every single season, every sporting code starts with their, you know, preseason training, bonding sessions, everything they can do to try to bring a group of guys and girls together to play as one. It is very difficult, extremely difficult to do. And if you're good at it, you know, like some of the great coaches, the Bennett's, and some of the great coaches, the Gorgians and the Smites, and they can go and talk to anybody anywhere about it because it's hard to do. And it's very, very difficult to replicate, as I said. So, you know, when you get it right, boy, I tell you, we got it right. And you know what? We won back-to-back, but really, we could have had a longer run than that. And we would have kept the team together. We would have kept our egos and whatnot in check. We were still a bit young then. I know I was. And we probably could have kept that thing going for a lot longer.
Amazing. Kevin, yeah, and that we're talking late 90s, so you've been here, you've settled here past 20-odd years. So did you ever think when you first picked up a basketball, well, obviously you can't foresee that you're going to end up in a place in Australia that you probably didn't even know about, but how did you get into the game? Like, what was your beginning in basketball?
My beginning was simple. My mom's 6'2", and my dad's 6'5". So I had it coming. I had nothing to do with it. And so people would say, hey, you're pretty tall. You should play basketball.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I just kept hearing that. And I was just a kid, man. I loved to go outside and I loved to fish and I loved to just, you know, be a kid, do what kids do, play with boxes and get out there throwing rocks.
Was that in South Carolina, KB? You were raised in South Carolina, correct?
No, I was born in South Carolina because my mom and dad are Marines. You know, once a Marine, always.
Right.
So, Paris Island is where the boot camp is for Marines. That's where you come in at. And so I was conceived and born there, and I spent a little bit of time there. And eventually, back then, if a woman became pregnant in the armed forces, she was given an honorable discharge. So my mom was once she became pregnant, she was no longer actively in the Marines. My dad was. He was a Vietnam veteran, a very proud Vietnam veteran. And when he finished his full term there, we moved back to Louisiana. I was raised in Louisiana, White Castle, Louisiana. So that's where I was raised at.
Where you went to college as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I went to college, University of Southwestern Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns. They're now the University of Louisiana of Lafayette. And that's about a good hour away from my hometown. But LSU is the school that I wanted to go to initially. They're only about 25 minutes away. The LSU Tigers are the biggest school in the state. But fortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, fortunately, it just didn't work out for me. And I went to a school where I can play right away. I can grow into my position and develop and mature. And there's a lot of Aussie kids I've come across all want to go Division I. But you need to go to a place where you can play, where you can grow, and you can mature. Yeah.
Right.
If that's Division I, fine. But if that's 2 or 3, that's nothing to be ashamed of.
Great.
Yeah, because I think if I'm not mistaken, Kevin, it's not sort of Division I and II as it is as we understand it here. It's based on attendance, like how many people they have attending the college. That's you know, if it's a small college, you tend to end up in Division II because you just don't have as much to pick from. So the Raging Cajuns, mate. Yeah, you know, is that where you met Darnell when he was playing for Western Kentucky? Were you in the same conference?
No, they ended up being in the same conference, but that was after me.
Right.
I met Darnell during our time there as in the Denver Nuggets. So he came in my third year. He was drafted, Rodney Rogers, and Darnell me my third year. And that's where I met Darnell. My third year was his rookie year. So we obviously hit it off right away. And when he came out here to play with Canberra, with Rob Rose, and with Crew, which I think they had a pretty good team there. That's where Phil saw him at. And we were still talking then, and I was kind of bouncing around in Europe. And, you know, Europe is good, but Europe can be tough.
Sure.
You know, you're doing 2-a-days for, you know, 8 to 10 months. It's a grind. You don't always get your money. It's very difficult trying to, you know, sue a team in their own country for your money. A lot of times you got to take it on the chin and get on out. So he had some very good things to say about Australia. You know, obviously it was English. It's not Americanized. It's still very Australian, but there are some similarities there. He said it was a good league. It was competitive. You get paid the money you promised that you're going to get paid.
Right.
And it just had some very good things to say about it. And at that time, we had the same agent. So I gave my agent a call, say, look, you know, can you get me over there with Darnell? And that's kind of how it started.
At what point did you think I'd like to spend the rest of my life here? Like, when did that happen, Kevin?
I can't really tell you about it because at that time when we came here to play, I was still actively trying to get back in the NBA.
Of course.
So you could go to the CBA, which I'd done that initially, and that was just so cutthroat. Even the ball boys are trying to get into the NBA over there. So I was like, you know what? I'll do what a lot of guys do. Go overseas, make better money, play some better basketball, come back in the offseason, go to the Salt Lake City Review, go to some of these off-season camps that the NBA teams put on, and then try to make your way up to potentially October training camp. And then from there, you can possibly get a contract or make a team. If that doesn't work, then you go back overseas. So when I came here and played initially for the Sixers, I wanted to play some good basketball. And because our NBA careers didn't really go the way we wanted to, I think Donna and I came over here quite humbled. And so we just wanted to be a part of a team. We just wanted to play and contribute on a high level. And I think that added. We didn't come over here trying to tell Maj and them how to play because we were in the NBA. And I think that added to the chemistry because we didn't do that. Then we were accepted a lot easier, and we became a group and became a family a lot easier. And then from there, we just took off. So I was planning on going back and playing and getting back in the NBA. So there was no time when I really thought about it early on. But I met my wife here, of course. And yep. We all know majority of times, not all the time, but the majority of times you end up living where your wife is from.
Yes.
And so that's how that went about. And, you know, once that took place, I got engaged and all that. I was like, okay, well, this is home. I'm not going anywhere.
I just want to talk about very quickly, and I want to talk about your Sydney experience as well, because, yeah.
No one wants to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. But I got to remember, like, Darnell Mee was amazing. He started in Canberra in my rookie season. And when I think about you two, don't ask me why, I just think of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, because when I see you guys winning those championships with the cigars hanging out of your mouth and the big smiles, I just cannot stop thinking it was just like those two in their championships. You guys, it was amazing. But talk to me about how that Sydney thing came along. I want to know.
How I ended up with the Kings?
Yeah.
Well... At that time, see, we won back-to-back championships, right? And so there was something going on with the league at that time, thinking that there was some funny business going on with Adelaide and myself and contracts and whatnot. So things got a little bit shaky there. And I think they kind of almost like stepped in. And I don't know where it came from, but there was some issues about me signing back with them.
Wow.
And at the timing of it, funny because I actually was having a few little issues with the front office and getting my contract sorted anyway, but I think the front office was getting pressured from the league.
Yes.
So what I ended up doing was I ended up, unfortunately, because I didn't want to leave Adelaide, I ended up going to Argentina.
Oh,
and
wow.
I played for a big club over there called the Tennis. And that was back into that kind of cutthroat system again, which I didn't really care for, but I just was doing what I had to do. So I got a job. I went there and it didn't work out. So they ended up releasing me. And when they done that, then Brett Brown, was there with the Kings, found out about it. And he ended up grabbing me and saying, boom, you know, come over to the Kings. So to come back into the NBL, after winning back-to-back championship with the Sixers and to go play for another club was not an easy decision.
Yeah,
it's a decision that I had to put some time and some thought into. But I wanted to be back in Australia. I wanted to be back in the NBL. It was a really great league and tough and competitive. And so I made the decision to get back in. And I took that job and went over there and played with the Kings, but. It was funny, man. I remember one day we're sitting up there having a scouting report, and we're getting ready to play the Sixers for the first time. And Brett Brown's like, "Mate, I've been sitting up here scouting these guys, and I can't see what they run. It's like they don't run any plays, mate. Can you help me out?" And I start laughing, And I went to say, I said, well, you know, we, and Maddie Nielsen just jumped down my throat. He was like, we, you're not with those guys anymore. Now you're king now, man. And I was like, and I was just like, oh shit. Okay. My bad, Maddie. I said, well, those guys, when I was with those guys, we played, that's part of what we've done. You couldn't scout us. We had four guys who could shoot three, could put it on the floor, can penetrate and dish. And we had very little structure. We was very difficult to scout in regards to plays and whatnot. You had to scout personnel. And that's why we were so tough like that, you know. We were very tough.
That must have and still must rankle, that after winning two championships in the 36ers, getting to go and represent Australia in the NBL at the McDonald's World Club Championship in Milan, in Italy, or Milano, that you weren't a part of that team. And then you actually come back and you did actually play with the 36ers again. So like that must rankle that you missed out on that event.
Yeah, you would have to bring that shit up, wouldn't you, buddy?
Well, you went to play for the kids.
You would have to bring that up. You know, that's been a sore spot for me for years, and I'm not going to hold any punches. I'm still very pissed off about that.
Yeah.
There's a couple things I'm very pissed off about. That's one of them. Losing that damn game to Wollongong is another one. So don't bring that shit up.
I'm not bringing that up.
Don't bring that one up, buddy. Don't bring that one up. But you know what? I think that's another thing that ticked me off, because I think the league at that time had something to do with that too. Because
they did.
That's the year I was with the Kings, right?
That's right. That's exactly what happened.
I tell you, boy, that burned my cookie something terrible, boys. Because I was on that championship team.
Yes.
So then my good friend and mate Paul Maley steps in and gets my position. Gets my nice hotel room. They said my name was still on the bloody doggone key when it was handed out.
Yeah, and what makes it worse is that Maley was on the team that the Sixers beat for the championship.
And it hit my spot. And on top of that, he got my McDonald's jacket. And let me tell you, Brett Maher and Rupert Sapwell and Paul Reed and Paul Barr, they remind me of that. Not Pachi. I don't think Pice on that team, but those other three, boy, they remind me of it every time, and they give it to me every time, man. Because they know that I was so salty about that, man. And you know what? I don't understand why Phil's out there listening. Phil should have grabbed my jacket for me, him and SJ, and they should have got that jacket for me.
Well, it's only interesting you say that, because we're actually one of our major contributors to this is Piranha Media, and Phil actually is on a podcast with Piranha Media. So I'm sure he's listening, and Oddy asked me not to bring up Damon Lowry, but I'm just, I don't know what that means. He just said, please don't say Damon Lowry.
Don't do it. Yeah, but I've got one for you.
I hated that guy. I hated Damon Lowry before he hit the free throws. So then after that, I just loathed him after he hit the
Just consolidated his position.
You know, but all due respect, he's a great guy. And I got to know him better after. Because remember, Darnell actually went over there and played for those guys.
Yes, remember that? Ended up being
and
teammates.
When Darnell told me that, I was like, bro, are you kidding me? you're going to go over there and play for those guys? What the hell are you thinking? Why are you going over there? Go to any other team but them, right? And he went over there and played for them. And I don't know. I think I stopped talking to him for a while. But he did. And he caught a lot of grief when he went over there, too. He caught a lot of grief. And then, lo and behold, I go over there to be Cookie's assistant coach some years down the line. And they were still talking about that shit then.
Of course.
Oh, man. But you know what? It was. And why do the NBL always want to show that at certain times when we get around finals?
You know, because it's an iconic moment. You know, it's a bit like the NBA showing you guys celebrating when you were the first eighth seed at Denver Nuggets to knock out Seattle Supersonics, the first eighth seed to beat the one seed.
KB.
They show
can,
that
I
all
throw something, can I just throw something in there? I'd much prefer to be in that video than me sitting at home watching you be in it. So don't worry, mate. You're lucky.
I think the NBA is showing that one and gone video body a hell of a lot more than the NBA is showing my Nuggets were thrown.
Like, I just got one quick one for you before we just run some names past you, and that is, how did you go with the Australian sense of humour? Because a lot of, you know, in that particular group, that 36ers group, that chemistry had a lot to do with people pulling a mickey out of each other on a regular basis, and sometimes the American sensibility doesn't sort of respond all that well to that. How did you go when they were, you know, making fun of you or disrespecting you, or did you think they were, or did you just go, I get this, you know, I understand the kind of sarcasm they're doing, and because you're a funny guy yourself, so I think you would have fit. But it intrigues me as to how that process worked.
I think that would have been some moments when I didn't get it, but for the most part, you know, we just got it, and we gave it as good as
as
we got it, and we may have given it with a bit of an American flair, and we got it with a bit of an Australian flair, but it all just kind of just merged at the end body. I remember the first time I walked into the locker room after we arrived at the airport, and Phil and them had the cars, and, you know, almost got killed when I was 30 minutes in the country by pulling out on the road and looking left first instead of looking right. But I managed to get through that okay. We walked in the locker room. As soon as we walked into the locker room, the boys had just finished training, and we walked in, and I'm looking at Sapwell there with his shirt off. He's the hairiest man I've ever seen in my life. He's got John really there, and I was like, that guy looks like the guy off of Powder. And then I looked up, and it happened to be a Powder poster above his chair. And I'm looking at Mozzie sitting over there with his. And, you know, you just walk in and you see these things, and they start cracking on you right away. Sapwell, he said something about my afro when I walked in. And Darnell being the quiet one, no one said anything to Darnell, but they said everything to me. And then I start giving it back. And I mean, in the first minute we walked in the locker room, you would think that we had been around each other for a while. It just started sledging each other and taking a pitch out of each other. And from there, that's just the way it was every single day. And our trainings,
are so unique, man. Yeah, you could see that. It's amazing. KB, what we do at this time of our show is we throw some names at you and people you will know, obviously, and we're just looking for like a one word, one sentence, real quick thing just to wrap these person up. I'm going to start it, and the first person I'm going to throw at you, Darnell Mee.
Best player on our team, hands down.
Nice.
Okay. Let me go with Martin Catalini.
One of the funniest players on our team, hands down.
Beautiful. Next one, Phil Smythe.
Best coach I've played for.
Wow. Gee, that's good. Yeah, okay. That's Paul Rees.
Absolute original. Never be another one like him. one of my best teammates ever.
Beautiful. Great comment. This one's a little bit left field for you. Brett Brown.
Good coach, good guy. What I learned from him was preparation and enthusiasm. He came to every single training session prepared and enthusiastic about his job.
Nice.
Right. Well, I'm going to end it with another Brett, Brett Maher.
The golden child. I think right now I call him Gandalf the White. Great teammate, deceptive, quiet, but very, very competitive.
Yes. The silent assassin.
Yeah. That was actually Darnell's name, but that fits Mozzie as well.
Yeah, that's great. KB, look, we've said this to a few people as well. We haven't touched on a lot of things we would love to. We would love to have you back one time. You are just a scream to have on this show. You are amazing. We didn't even talk about the assistant coaching roles and stuff, but we're back again that time.
Or what you're doing now.
Correct, yeah. So, KB, thank you so much for joining us. You are a legend of our game. There is no question about that, but also one of the great characters, and we can't thank you enough for being on this show, and thank you so much.
Thank you guys for the time. Anytime you need me, give me a buzz. LA Pride, baby. LA Pride.
And a bit of Sydney, KB. Come on. Oh, Bonnie, I could have talked to him for hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, we didn't even get a chance to speak to what he's doing now. Yeah, I would have loved, I want to ask him about the Joey Wright assistant coaching role. Yes. It'd be great to know what happened when Joey left and when that KB thing. So we'll definitely get him back.
Yeah, no question. So. That's a good thing. Actually, I find that with most of our guests, we sort of leave the fans that are listening just wanting more.
Well, it is. And just for our listeners as well, you know, Boddy and I are very keen to keep this around the 30, 32, 33-minute mark. Like, we don't want it longer. Our plan is it's great when you're getting home from work or you're driving in a bus or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's what we've always wanted to do. So we'll have them back like we did with Chris Anstey. That was brilliant. And by the way, got to mention a shout-out to Chris Anstey, mate. His book was out. And you've got a copy?
I've got a copy today, yep. Yeah. Tall Tales, What the Whiteboard Didn't Tell Me. Very good.
Yeah.
I had a quick look into it and before the program, and I couldn't put it down. So
he's going to look. He's a great writer. I've read some of his art, but we've chucked about it anyway. Anyway, let's talk NBL. All right.
Tell me what did you come away from round 19? We're still in the middle of it. What did you come away with?
Pretty much what I thought was going to happen, and that is Illawarra will take fourth spot. Southeast Melbourne will take third. Brisbane, oh, my God. Kings, well, they weren't much better, but New Zealand just stunk it up in that last one and gave them a win. But I do not see any changes. You?
I was very impressed with Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. I think they really went and took care of business and really smacked Brisbane around. I was extremely disappointed in the Brisbane performance. I've said all along there's two clubs I don't trust, Brisbane and Adelaide.
You called
And there it is. One game they're beating Perth. Next game, they're not even showing up. They didn't even show up. Like, they were 35 points down at one stage. They're just
95-66.
Yeah,
66 points after scoring 91 against Perth. And just to add to that, Boddy, like you said, and I'm sorry, I'm getting in the argument as well now, that's a chance to win fourth spot.
Yeah, at home.
At home.
And it's like, and you turn in that sort of crappy performance, you know, Nathan Sobey gets put in the Australian squad, long overdue.
Yep.
Comes up with a one from seven game. You know, it's like, what is going on? Matt Hodgson in foul trouble. Yep. There's a shock. Can't help myself. Bad habits. There's a shock. And, you know, just generally speaking, I'm just so disappointed with that group.
Well, massive news today as well. Cotton to miss the remainder of the regular season. What do you think of that?
Well, I read about it, and it's a quad injury. So, you know, people are sort of saying, well, that's because he gets so many knees when he's coming around screens, and defenders are sort of sticking a knee into his thigh as he goes around. That came on top of a groin strain, and we know where the groin strain came from. That was in the loss to Brisbane, where he slipped on the decal under the basket. And, like, why does the NBL have to have an NBL logo under the basket? Like, that's the one place there's going to be a lot of activity. There's going to be a lot of sweat as well. Why do they need it's not even a sponsor logo, for crying out loud. Get that off the floor. It just drives me crazy. I wrote about it the other day. I said, what's going to take is that some star is going to hurt himself on a decal and will sue the living daylights out of the league, and that's when something legitimate will happen. That's when they'll go, oh, geez, okay, let's clean this up properly. Right now, it's terrible.
All right, talk to me about the games coming up. As everyone knows, we do this on a Monday, so Brisbane are playing Melbourne tonight.
As we
speak. So when Melbourne, when our listeners hear this, this game will be over. Who won it?
Look, that's the thing, you can't trust Brisbane.
Yeah.
Do they bounce back from that and show something? Or does Melbourne just smack them away and think, here's our chance to consolidate first place because Perth might be a bit vulnerable now without Bryce for a game or two? So I'm going with Melbourne. You've got to go with the favourites. And Brisbane are just too erratic.
I'm just going to go opposite with you, because every time we do this, Brisbane do it. But I'm going opposite.
Yeah, you're right.
It's so right. Do you know what I mean? You just don't know. They could lose by 50 or win by 40.
Yeah,
it's just anyway.
So you're doing the George Costanza. Remember that episode of Seinfeld where he just decided everything he's ever done is wrong. So whatever every instinct he has, he's going to go the other way. All right, fair enough. I'll just call you George from now.
I would love those airport walkways all around the city as well with George Costanza on it. Serenity now. Okay, New Zealand versus Adelaide Tuesday night in Christchurch. Have Adelaide got a chance?
Oh, yeah, they've got a chance. But I think pretty much the rest of these games in New Zealand, the Breakers have to start favourite. That just emotional lift that you get from the crowd. I know they had a flat one in the second time against Sydney, but that can happen when you're going back-to-back against the same team. We've seen that happen a few times. So right.
We're going into round 20. Two rounds left. It's all happening. Number of games. Quick winners. Cairns at home versus Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Yep. Perth at home versus Sydney. No Bryce.
Perth. Oh, wow.
I'm going Sydney. New Zealand.
Of course you are.
Illawarra.
Who's worried about Illawarra?
Yeah.
Who is it? Who they playing? Sorry, I missed it.
New Zealand. Yeah, he's too busy bagging me. New Zealand at home versus Illawarra.
Oh, I reckon that's a real danger game for the Hawks.
Yeah.
Really do. I wouldn't be surprised at all if New Zealand gets that.
Yep, agreed. Southeast Melbourne versus Cairns, not going to ask you. Sydney at home versus Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah. Illawarra at home versus Adelaide.
Should be Illawarra.
Agreed, especially after that. New Zealand at home versus Brisbane. Big game for Brisbane.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got the Andre Lamanas connection too with the Breakers and getting towards the end of his time as a Bullets coach. Yep. Big game all round, I think, New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Melbourne United versus Cairns, Melbourne United. That rounds it out, but that's next Monday. Boddy, I'm going to give you my rattler first. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
So my rattler goes out to New Zealand. The New Zealand being back home, the crowd, the atmosphere, it actually gave me goosebumps to see how enthusiastic the league was, how everything. So that was an absolute beauty. Yeah. I loved watching New Zealand be at home.
Couldn't agree with you more. It was exciting and it was thrilling and it was you were joyous for them as well.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Give me a nasty.
Well, my nasty sort of follows on because I was really happy to hear the commentary from the New Zealand games with Andrew Mulligan and Casey Frank back on the mics. They're actually at the games. They're not sitting, you know, in the hub. They're at the games. And what they do is they call the game. They commentate on the game. They don't go off on a tangent and just self-indulgent nonsense, which I'm sorry, but that's what I'm getting a lot on the other games. You know, there's people talking about, oh, should we have all defensive five and who would be in it? And what are you watching the game? What's going on in the game? Tell us about the game. If you don't understand the game, so you think you need to talk about other bullshit, because that's what they're doing, it drives me crazy. And they're non-stop talking of some of these guys. My God, thank God for the mute button.
You crack me up. You do. BOTINAGY.com. Boddy Nodge, mate, you got some great articles this week. I saw Bob's Corner. You had Simon Letson play, and you were speaking about Southeast Melbourne, the curly questions, which we had last week. Talk to me. Some good articles up there.
I'm glad you think so, yeah. Keep it relevant without sort of getting into too many of the side issues that are happening. But I'm really concerned about the decals and what that's going to lead to before this is all over. That's a real constant for me. But
yeah,
other than that,
the NBL are worried about it. I couldn't agree more, mate. Thank you. We're done.
Let's get out.
Thank you to Kevin Brooks again. That was great. KB was fabulous. Boddy. To all our listeners, thank you. Boddy, thanks for being here. Want to shout out to Piranha Media. Thank you for all your support. Our numbers are going through the roof. We're getting great feedback. The Brian Curl got some fabulous feedback. So thank you, everyone. Boddy, have a great week, mate.
I intend to. See you next week.
See you all next week. Mate, you got to tell me, you've written a book about the Golden Child. Is he the Golden Child?
That's what KB called him, and I'm going to get offended on Brett Maher's behalf, but Golden Child, absolutely.
See you next week.
Ciao.